traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here for Flying Turns, and of course, our founder and co-host, or the main host, Scott Miller, who's done all the work getting everything together, is with me today. Scott, how are you?
Oh, I'm great today, Steve. How's it going for you?
It's a bit crazy. It's interesting in that we're looking at a lot of different avenues to try and get racing back on again. But since we spoke last week, there's with no return race date yet, and I know you'll talk about that concerning Churchill Downs, but I'm talking about the harness racing game. It's not looking good. If there could be racing again in May, that would be great, but I just don't know if it's going to happen. And in the meanwhile, we're getting more news, like the one of the top 4-year-old races, the Confederation Cup at Flamborough Downs. That's been postponed for now. And the Empire Breeders' Trots, you know, at Vernon Downs, they've been postponed. And, you know, you hate to see this because some of these races, I guess, eventually are going to be are going to be canceled, like they did with the Reynolds and the Prix de Tay and other stake races. I know in Thoroughbreds are racing a little, Scott, but have you heard of a lot of cancellations or postponements?
Well, I tell you, we were going to have Churchill Downs on the line today, and they were supposed to open the 28th of this month, but I guess everything now is on hold because, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't want to get a whole backside full of horses there with racing, you know, being postponed another 30 days. So everybody's just kind of staying put. Now, here at Sunshine Meadows, we had about, I'd say, a third of our standardbred people have shipped on back up north to farms in the Northeast, you know, anticipating that racing would be coming about. But if it doesn't, you know, they're up there, you know, and they just have to wait for it to open up.
Yeah, you know, it's when you look, especially some of the huge stables, and, for example, a Casey Coleman, a Tony Alagna, 80 horses, the cost of shipping is, I don't want to say outrageous, but it costs an awful lot to ship 80 horses and all their harness and all their jog carts, race bikes, equipment, people themselves, and just to move them to another location and still not have racing. I mean, I think those guys are going to be sitting foot, stay in place until at least June.
Well, you know, the good thing about it down here at our Palm Beach Downs farm, where we have our thoroughbreds at, they're still racing at Gulfstream in Tampa, and they're, of course, Gulfstream races year-round, and Tampa's, you know, will be doing the same. You know, these guys have a place to race. It's not the same money as it is in New York or Kentucky or Illinois, you know, but at least they're racing and they're producing income, for their horses. You know, I feel bad for the harness people because they literally have nowhere to race.
Exactly. Unless you want to ship to Sweden. They're still going strong in Sweden. But that's probably the only place. There's only a couple tracks in Australia that are racing, and Sweden, and that is it throughout the world when it comes to racing. In fact, if you go to the USTA's website and you look up races this weekend, there's not even qualifiers anyplace. Olympia took a break. I don't know, Scott, if they're having anything at Sunshine Meadows tomorrow.
No, but we're not.
And I also saw up in Spring Garden in Florida, they're not qualifying. So there's not even qualifying races to try and take a look at. But on a positive note, because of what has happened here, the USTA has gotten together with Omega Alpha and their Harness Racing Fan Zone. And what they've done, and it's great, if you go to ustrotting.com, they're having a contest, a bracket of the greatest racehorses of all times facing each other. And they don't do it by the two different breed of trotter and pacer. It's just the greatest harness racing horses ever going against each other. And it's getting real interesting because today they have the world champion trotting mare, Moneymaker, taking on one of the greatest stallion racehorses ever, Some Beach Somewhere. And doing the mathematics based on their wins and time ratios, they're able to put trotters against pacers. But in the bracket, we now have, as I said, Moneymaker against Some Beach Somewhere. In the other bracket, I guess you'd call it the West Coast, Jiglet is taking on Niatros. Muscle Hill is taking on the mare, Chardonnay. And then the great Nihilator is taking on Mac Lobel. And I just think it's something great that to keep interest alive in the sport. And they give a point system, you know, depending on the horse. And now we're getting down to what I would have to say are some of the greatest horses ever to touch a racetrack. The only ones that are missing because of age time are like Greyhound and Dan Patch, because they had to pick a time period to stop with, and I think it was around 1970. And of course, those horses, Dan Patch himself was pacing in 155 in a piece back in 1905 for a mile. I mean, it took 60 years before they broke that record.
Well, you know what, Steve, when you haven't said that, I tell you what, there's been an awful lot of arguing and fighting over the years who was the better horse, you know, and so now that they've done this, it's going to eliminate a lot of arguments and a lot of discussions because we're going to
have proof. Well, I think they've done a really great job, and at first when I saw, you know, some of these trotters against pacers, and I'm like, you really can't do that, but they did, and they were able to come up with a system. Is it perfect? No. Is it exciting? Yeah. Am I waiting to see who wins between these great horses? Absolutely. I was looking last week when they had Wiglet Jiglet against Sweet Lou, and I'm thinking, wow, these are two super horses that didn't get to face each other, and you know, just by a couple of percentage points, Wiglet Jiglet beat Sweet Lou. And then I was shocked when it is. Well, here's another example. The top seed in the West was Cambess, because he had gone, I think it was 146-4 back in his day, and was going against Moneymaker. And I figured, well, you know, Cambess pound for pound, but it didn't work out. Moneymaker, the trotting mare, beat Cambess. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. But at least it's something that, you know, is keeping people's interest or keeping their minds going, because if not, we'd be losing them worrying about the state of racing.
Well, all we need to do is figure out how to bet on them.
Well, <You know? laughs> that's true, but in any situation like that where somebody has made up this game and the point system, it wouldn't be fair for wagering because they would have an inside track. Whereas in a real race, of course, it would be something different. But there'll be gambling coming on there. I'm sure if you're hurt and I'll come out there, we'll find some turtles and paint numbers on their back, put them in a circle, and we'll all bet on who gets out of the circle first. But
you know, now I got to hire a guard to get at the gate out there.
Yeah. And then you can play the double zero, which is if a gator comes out of the lake and eats one of the turtles.
Right. There you go. Well, you know, Steve, I was just thinking, you know, and it's kind of interesting to sit here and watch some of the greatest standardbred trainers in this country here day to day. You know, I can see the concern on their face about, you know, where do they go next with these horses. These horses are very close to running. You know, they've trained them like they normally would, you know, every year. And now, you know, they're at a point to, you know, what do they do? You know, when are they going to race? And, you know, where do they go from here? Do you have any ideas on that?
No, I really don't at this point. It's just too, I don't want to say unpredictable, but it's we can't fathom what is going to happen. I haven't seen the news today, but I know that they were talking about opening up Georgia and that our esteemed governor here in Florida is talking about, you know, possibly opening up more beaches. But then the mayors of the towns have now told the governor that they don't want their beaches open. They don't want to take this risk. And I guess I have to agree with them. I just think we have to sit tight a bit longer. But that's easy for me to say. I'm no longer an owner breeder of racehorses, so I'm not having to pay the bills and stuff for stall and feed and grooms and everyone else that has to be taken care of. And we're talking about millions of dollars that are going by the wayside here as everybody sits and waits and hopes that, God, that their two-year-olds could even get raced.
Right. Oh, exactly. Well, you know, the thing about it, this whole pandemic that we have here and the problem that they're having in Kentucky at Churchill, and the reason they're delaying what they, you know, said they're going to make a decision tomorrow, they had two people test positive for the virus at Turfway Park. You know, so now all of a sudden, you know, the virus is in the horse community, you know, in Kentucky that we know of. And so, you know, Churchill's kind of in a jam. Do they open up the backside and bring people from out of state in, you know, or should everybody just stay where they're at, you know, and give it another, you know, 2 weeks or 30 days?
I know. It's tough. And you know what, though, for the most part, people throughout the United States have been great about staying home and doing it. And I guess the epitome of it all is a couple days ago when someone took a photo of a police officer on horseback walking his horse through Times Square, and it's totally empty. It's daytime. There's still lights on and everything, but the streets are empty, and all you can see is this police officer. And he happens to be on top of a trotter, a retired trotter that went to work for the New York City Police Department as a you want to call him a cavalry horse or whatever.
Yeah, the Mounted Patrol.
It's just unreal.
Speaking of New York, there, how are they faring at Yonkers? You know, I know they had several cases there. Have you heard anything about when Yonkers might open up, or you know what they're doing there?
I have not heard anything, and because it literally is the epicenter of the coronavirus, New York and New Jersey. I can't give you an idea. I mean, I know they're all working on systems in order to try and get fanless racing started up again and to allow trainers and grooms and certain numbers to come in. Whether or not I'm guessing that in order to be able to open up and have just even fanless racing, they may very well have to test every groom, every trainer that comes, that's going to want to come in the paddock, and have them tested just to make sure. And then, of course, I think we talked about it before, a race paddock can hold well over 100 horses, which is about at least 10 races. And but they may very well only allow three races to come in at a time and have strict guidelines for the use of Lasix and where people can be, and they have to have a temperature reading every day and much more than that. I'm sure those things are in place, but is horse racing a top priority, you know, to the governor or mayors of these towns to allow this racing to take place? There's so many questions that, you know, that are unanswered that we just have to wait and see how they're going to handle it. But if I know the people at Yonkers and well, MGM especially, because of their casino that is shut down, has done so well, they're not going to be able to open that anytime soon. So we would hope they would consider allowing racing as a start, because I think we have the solution of how to do racing and keep everybody safe from exposure, you know, by testing them all and making sure they're okay. But nobody's revealed any plans yet, so I just don't see it happening soon. I mean, they talked about May 15th. Well, you know what? That's only 3 weeks away, and I just don't see it happening by then. I mean, I wish it could happen, but people have to understand. They have to see what's happened. You know, what's it, 45 going on 50,000 deaths, and so many of them happening right in that New York, New Jersey vicinity. I just don't see racing coming back real soon.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that. And I think the problem, you know, we'll use Churchill Downs as an example. Even if they did get the racing back, you know, the Pamela's racing, you know, back, that would be a good thing. It would give some type of income to the owners and the trainers, you know, and all the people involved. But I think the biggest problem that they're going to have is after, you know, they start releasing the stay-at-home orders and what have you, how is Churchill or any big facility, whether it's NFL, NBA, or whatever, put 15, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 fans, you know, in one spot and not expect anything to happen? You know, I just don't see how they could do that.
No, and I think it's all going to be done. I don't know. I mean, I think they're looking at basketball. Well, that's going to be tough if everybody, you know, if every player and officials and everything else are you know, tested and stuff. Fine, I can understand it from that point of view, but I just don't. I don't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, how could they, in this day and age of the corona and the virus, allow football players to go on the field? I mean, that's a major one I wonder about.
Oh, yeah, you never can tell. And the problem is like with the horses, you have so many people that are traveling to so many areas. You know, like the people from, you know, that were up in New York or New Jersey, and they opened up the beaches. They said they had about a third of the people that were coming to the beaches were from out of state. You know,
well,
and, that's what we're trying to figure out, you know, to do.
Yeah, it's exactly. In other words, if you're going to racing, I think can get away with it before hockey or basketball or baseball. Well, I shouldn't say baseball, because other than a runner on base, they're not that close to each other. I mean, but again, no fans. What are they doing the sport for? They're going to do it for the betting. But let's use the Meadowlands as an example. If you do have fanless racing back, then, you know, no one's going to be able to go to the Meadowlands and make a sports wager. Whether they can do it, you know, they can do it there on the computer, so people will be able to get their wagers in. But my big thing is I love football. I love professional and college football. And at this point here, I don't know if the universities are going to be able to open in time. I don't know if players will be able to practice and be on the field. I mean, you're talking 40 or 60 man rosters, plus all the trainers and everyone else. It's just too many people and too high a risk.
Oh, exactly. And you know, the when you start looking at the economic impact, you know, it's unbelievable. And you got to remember that in the horse business, all of our people, they're going to Burger King and McDonald's. They're traveling. They're constantly on the move, you know, going from place to place to place. And then at the beginning of the morning, all those people that have gone out to do all the things that they needed to do the day before, they're all coming back and they're concentrated in one area again. So they're literally touching every part of society and bringing whatever is there back to the barn. And that's what's
well,
scary.
Yeah, it can be, except I got to have some exceptions. I'm trying to think which restaurant. My wife and I took a ride, you know, and ordered. And when we got to the location, there were the people waiting. You know, they had our food there, but they all had masks on. They all had gloves on. They would not... the payment was done over the phone, and all the person did was literally was take the food bag and open the back seat and put it in. So we had no contact whatsoever except for that bag that had the food in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
precautions are being taken properly, but you can't turn into takeout food and compare that to being in a race paddock with 100 horses and 30 grooms and 30 trainers and drivers.
Oh, exactly. You know, one good thing here in Florida, it's pretty much throughout the whole horse industry, there's no problem getting hay, there's no problem getting feed or your tack or, you know, anything that you need to continue on. So, you know, I'm very blessed here. My work schedule has changed somewhat, but not like most people. We're still working. We're still employed. We're still getting a check. And that's very, you know, I'm very blessed to have that happen. And, you know, we don't have as many people coming to the farm as we did before, you know, to visit or to watch. So, you know, we really haven't been touched like they have in, you know, out in, you know, the general public.
Right, and somebody, you look at someone like a Casey Coleman, and she's got 40, maybe 50 horses, and she's got a lot of two-year-olds and a lot of owners, and she's still training and working them, and she's still out there taking video to show her people what's going on, how the horses are, and, you know, which is a great thing, people, you know, to be able to use all the technology we have today to keep everybody informed is great. And you talk about, you know, being able to get food and everything. I'm telling you, the supermarkets, I'm less and less on some of the food products, and I don't think that's a good thing. And, in fact, I just had my eye. A huge iguana just came walking by my yard, and I was starting to think about getting out the club and calling my buddy in Australia and asking him for a recipe for iguana. Who knows?
You got a wallet and a meal all in one crawling across your backyard.
There you go. No, you know, this is a big one. I might get a pair of moccasins too.
There you go. Well, you know, you're talking about food and everybody going out. One of the companies that we're going to be dealing with here on International Equine Network is a company called SHIP, SHIPT.com. I get my groceries from them every week, delivered to my house, and it's really nice, you know, to do that. I go online, and I here in South Florida, I can order from Publix, Winn-Dixie, Target, CVS, Costco, you know, in Office Depot. So I can cover any and everything that I need, you know, by ordering online. And the great part about it is they have an annual fee. I believe it's now at $99. and there's no delivery fee if you order something over $35, $35 worth of groceries or more. And, you know, it's fantastic, you know, to do that. You know, they deliver to you know, at what time you request to be brought to you, and they can get any and everything that the store has. You know, so that's really good, and, you know, for just the people in general. But the horse people are really starting to use it because Ship will deliver right to your barn or to the racetrack, you know. And so that's going to be one of the companies that we're going to be involved with, you know, here. And then, of course, you will be having flying turns and helping us on a lot of all the other things that you and I had started. And also, what can we look forward to next week on flying turns?
Well, you're going to tell me. I mean, I need to hear more. I need to hear, I don't know if I want to hear any more about Chuck Wagon, because that's just going to tempt me to want to try and get something more to eat. I've actually lost a couple pounds. But I'm real curious to hear more about this fanless events, because I'm sure there's more events out there that are going to be able to, you know, have participation. They'll be fanless, but at least the horse people will be able to participate. And I know we've got some good stuff coming up on that.
Right. On the second part of our show here, we're going to get into talking about Quest for Equine Gold. And we're going to have Lori Bierbach from Foxley Farm in Sarasota, Florida. They are a show horse facility, a beautiful facility. They have shows year-round there, and she has started a new type of thing. It's called a virtual horse show, and she'll tell us more about that here in a little bit. She's going to be calling in and about that. And you know, there's another thing, too, that you and I have discussed before about our show called Last Call, the equine sales.
Yes.
And, you know, we decided that we can take that show to an individual farm, and you don't have to ship your horse to a sale facility or, you know, do anything like that. We'll actually come to the farm and conduct a sale there via the Internet, you know, where they can have the bidding on the Internet and, you know, the horse would be sold. But naturally, you know, if you're going to buy a horse, you need to vet it out. So it would involve the buyer, you know, would have to go to the farm to look at it. But that's kind of one of the ways that we're looking at to, you know, help the horse industry, you know, still continue on selling horses, you know, without having to, you know, gather them all up and take them like to Lexington or, you know, to Del Mar in California. So that's
no, absolutely. If we show the video and do everything, I know that's what Eric Cherry on Gate, they supply.
Right.
Not so much they show the horses racing and doing everything else. And of course you can bid them up or like you said, you can send your veterinarian out to check on it him or herself and see what's going on here. But there has to be a way to move horses. But before we switch to the next half hour, I want to give some credit to the Central Ontario Standardbred Association. They have come up with Greg Blanchard from London, Ontario, Western Fair. Every week he comes up with three top harness racing people, and he interviews them for almost an hour, and fans call in and stuff just to talk and see what are you doing during this whole thing. And last night might have been their best one yet, because they had the most accomplished women in harness racing. Casey Coleman, Nancy Tactor, and Linda Toscano were all on last night's program. And it's great to hear what they're doing, whether they're, you know, as Casey is cooking up and doing stuff, you know, we see from her house and all. We see all her video right. of her horses training. But it's great that Greg Blanchard and the Ontario Harness Horsemen are doing this show, which is really enjoyable, and it's great. You know, thank God if this happened, you know, 25, 30 years ago without much internet going on, we would all be stir crazy by now.
Well, I agree with you there. And, you know, I think it's important to say that all the associations like USTA and the Thoroughbred Association and FEI, USEF, our business is literally an international business. Sure, there's a lot of local, you know, horse people, you know, racing and so forth, but it's truly international. And I think that if everybody puts their heads together, we can figure a way out to survive, you know, to keep, you know, moving forward. It might not be with the big purses, you know, or the big shows, what have you, but at least, you know, we can keep our people employed. And you know, having said what you just said about Casey Coleman and that group, you know, that just goes to show you that it can happen because you can create interest. You can do a lot of things like that.
And, sure, you know, absolutely.
Hoping to do. And so, the big thing is about, you know, our flying turns is if our listeners and soon our viewers tune in, they'll be able to click on flying turns, and that'll take them right to Harness Link. And Harness Link is a phenomenal outlet for news daily, weekly. You know, they've got a lot of things on it. So tell us more about Harness Link, Steve.
Well, Harness Link is actually the only website that's out there in harness racing that covers harness racing around the world. In other words, there's websites, of course, for the United States, for Canada, for each, but this one covers racing around the world. I mean, there's a section for international, there's a section for the USA, a section for Canada, a section for Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom and Ireland, and for Europe. I mean, if you want to know who did the best in the pony harness races in Bermuda last week, you go to Harness Link because, you know, they cover everything all over the world. They're the only website that does that. So they're a great source for harness information from everywhere. In fact, their founder, John Curtin, actually had dinner with Joe. With Joe Feraldo a couple months ago, and got the coronavirus. And had a big national interview in New Zealand on his recovery and how he's done great with it. But it was after John Curtin was discovered when he flew home to New Zealand with coronavirus that the prime minister closed the country down and refused to let anyone, not even from nearby Australia, come into the country. Nobody could leave.
Yeah.
Nobody could come in. And guess what? Their virus rate of infection and death rate dropped dramatically. Unbelievable. And she's still, even though people are talking about trying to open things up, she will not let them do it yet. Not until they're convinced that they have a vaccine or... you know, it's enough to let people start socializing again. So yeah, there's all sorts of stories there.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what we're about here at International Equine Network, is covering the, you know, the globe. And you know, the counterpart to Harness Link for the Thoroughbred at the Wire Show is called TDN, it's the Thoroughbred Daily News. And they cover the Thoroughbred industry internationally. And they have a lot of good articles on there. They have a lot of good videos of historical racing. You know, and like Harness Link, it's updated every day. You get that news, you know, it's fresh every day. They keep you updated, who's racing, who's doing what, the sales, the breeding, the owners, the trainers, the jockeys. And you know, that's what we're trying to do here at International Equine Network, on At the Wire and Flying Turns, you know, that thing. And then next Thursday, we're going to have Ben Walden, Jr. on the program. He is the architect of past, present, and future champions in the thoroughbred industry here in the United States. And so now Ben has taken on another project. He has created and is the chief operating officer at the Royal St. Lucia Turf Club. And so now he's down in the islands, and they literally, in the last 2 years, have built the thoroughbred racing and breeding program up from scratch there, and put a lot of people to work, and have a beautiful track. And, you know, it's going to become quite a to-do in the islands.
I want to be the first one to volunteer to go there and do a live broadcast.
Well, I think we need to go down there, Steve, and check that out. You know, we don't want them to be trying to pull the wool over our eyes. We've got to go down
there.
That's
right. That's right. And I've never been to St. Lucia, so, you know, sign me up. I'm ready to go as soon as they let me. Let us leave the confines here. And then we can, after we do the thoroughbreds there, we can go up to Bermuda for the harness, for the pony races there.
There you go. You're right about that. Well, you know, we got a lot of things, you know, here on International Equine Network. We're going to be talking with Kyle Creech from Creech Horse Transportation. They transport show horses, standardbreds, thoroughbreds all over the country. You know, they'll be coming on to, you know, tell us how horses ship. You know, just what's involved with that. So, you know, again, you know, it's something a little different, you know, that we have here. You know, the one show that I really do like, that excites me, is the Chuck Wagon Show. Chuck Wagon is a show that, you know, you're going to find out how equestrians keep the nutrition, you know, going and traveling so much. You know how it is when you travel. You know, it's a drive-through here, a drive-through there. Well, on Chuck Wagon, it's going to be home-cooked, healthy meals, you know, for the horse people. And, you know, so we're excited about that. And Keystone Montana Trailers will be involved with us, because a lot of horsemen now are not going to go to hotels, you know, for housing. They're actually taking their, you know, their trailers with them. And, you know, and it's working out pretty good for them.
No, that's great. But I can't – do we have a guest coming on yet? Because I didn't know if we – okay. The there was the other virtual horse shows. Has there anything been done with that we can talk about? Did we lose Scott?
But yeah, Steve, that you know, we're getting close to everything, you know, on what we're doing here. If you go to our website, you can see everything that we're doing. We got the Farm of the Week, for example. It's Spendthrift Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. If you go to their website, you can take a virtual tour of the farm, which is fantastic. Another person, people that we're involved with, is Farm Vet. People have to get their supplies and, you know, all the vitamins and everything that they need for the horses. And Farm Vet
That's
is
right.
a fantastic business there. You've dealt with them before. In fact, I think out at the trotting center when they had an issue there, Farm Vet came to help them out, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, when the fire broke out and the horses that had perished and that, but for one of the first times ever, horses were able to be rescued, but many of them did have severe burns, and Farm Vet was the first one to step up, and within a couple of days, I think I received, or the farm received, 25 cases of burn cream, which, you know, that was unbelievable and how much that helped. And and that of those, the horses that were rescued, of the seven horses, I think six of them ended up going back and eventually racing, which I think is was unbelievable at that time. And Farm Vet was a big help in taking care of that.
Right. Well, see, that's why we're involved with companies like that, because they're domestic and international. They can get whatever you need to, you know, anywhere. And you know, again, we've got another company that we're working with. It's called Bank of America. They do domestic and international banking, you know, and that helps the horsemen when they're traveling, you know, across the world to have a bank that they can go to, you know, and take care of all their business needs. You know, that's really helpful. We also have a partnership with the Weather Channel. You know, the equestrians can click on our website to the Weather Channel, and they can get information about any place in the world, you know, where they might be showing and find out what the weather is going to be up to date, you know, and current.
Right.
You know, so that's exciting for us, you know, to be able to give that to our client. One of the things that I just got a big kick out of when I met these folks, it's called the Horse Motel. And it's it's a website, and you can actually, it's like, you know, a AAA type thing. You go to their website, and they have every state. They're international, too. They're in Sweden, and, you know, they're everywhere. And you go on, and you click on to wherever you want to go, and then it pulls up the farms that are available that have, you know, stabling for your horse, veterinarian, blacksmith, everybody in that area. You know, so that's really something that's unusual and unique. You know, that
you're right, Scott. But I got to tell you, you mentioned Harness Link before, so I figured I better go take a look at it, and up popped the harness racing draft dates. These are tentative race dates provided in New Zealand, and they're looking to get everything back in order. And if this draft is approved, they're stating that racing will resume. It looks like Friday, May 29th, at Addington Raceway. That they're going to have the first night of racing, and that it's going to take off, and they already have a schedule for when the racing is going to take place for the rest of the 2020 season, which I think is great that they're at a stage now where, you know, they're actually talking race dates and have a calendar of events established for the beginning of racing. And as I said before, New Zealand being one of the first totally locked down countries, and that is, you know, really seeing the downward trend of corona cases and deaths, is getting ready, or at least has their proposal in place once the word go is given that they can begin racing at the end of May.
Right.
That's really good.
That's why we have Harness Link on IENTV.org, is because, see, that's up to date and you know, right there, you know, and that's good, you know. So it looks like it's positive, you know, moving forward. And so, you know, that's what I'm excited about, because, like, right now on our website, we have Fauner Park, Will Rogers Downs, Remington Park, Oaklawn Park, Gulfstream, in Tampa Bay Downs that are doing live racing now without fans. You know, and if you go to our website, you can click onto it and you can watch the live race, you know, there. And so that's what we're, you know, all about here at IEN. We're, you know, trying to get, you know, people educated to, you know, what's going on, up to date, you know, and like with Harness Link, TDM. You know, fantastic. USEF and FEI, those are all sites that with one click you can find out what's going on. So haven't said that about Harness Link. That gives you kind of a, you know, a look forward to type thing that, hey, racing might not be but 30 days away.
Right, because when I look at the USTA and they have all the major stake races that would be upcoming in April and May and June and or not I'm sorry not just for April and May, and everything is either canceled or postponed, so they're
right,
not showing anything that we could talk positively about. Except
right.
that, you know, every week more races are getting postponed or canceled, and but you know it's all a matter of time and sadly the politics that are going to be played by each of the states. They're going to have their rules and regs, and we just got to sit tight and wait.
Yeah, you know. And when you're out and about, and you know, you with your horses, and you know, you're trying to do everything that's you know, safe and the right thing to do. We also have on our site the AAEP. It's the veterinarian gurus, you might say, the big mind of the veterinarian industry. You go there and click on there, and you can find a vet anywhere in the world. You can find, you can ask questions about your horse's needs, and they can get you in the right spot, you know. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do, Steve, is get all these things, down and or one click and you're there. You know, we just have so much there. We got Good Sam Club, which is equestrian and RV. They'll answer all your questions you need to know about going to, a horse park or a horse show to get your camper there. You know, that's good to know. Towing, repairs. We've got MapQuest. You can find hotels, restaurants, gas, and get directions just with one click, no matter where you're at, you know, in the world, you know, that type of thing. We've got Hallway Feeds. They're feeding horses all over the world. Again, another one click and, you know, you can feed your horse, you know, that type of thing. So that, you know, that's where we're at with the program. Next week, like I said, we'll have Ben Baldwin on from the Royal St. Lucia Turf Club. We'll have the Creech horse transportation people on, you know, tell us what we need to do, you know, with our projects. You know, and we'll just take it a week at a time. We'd like for people to call in and, you know, ask us what they need to know, and we'll tell them. But more importantly, the SHIPT, SHIPT.com. If we get somebody to email us or call us, they'll get a year's membership for free for being the first person to call us or email us. And they can email us at msmtv2019@gmail.com.
Wait, I'm doing it right now. Hold on.
Okay. They can call 561-466-1272. And
there
you
go.
We'll give away a free membership, you know, to them to do that. And of course, you know, we want them to go to our website, you know, and see what all we have there. We've got one company. It's called Cars.com that we're involved with. And you're 10 minutes away from getting a car, new or used. You click onto their site, you put in your zip code, and they will tell you what dealerships and auto sales are near you within 10 minutes of where you're at.
There you
know,
go.
So that's really fantastic if you're out and trying to need a car, you know, that type of thing.
I did have some other news concerning the indictments, the 29 people. And
that's right,
I forgot that on Tuesday, four of the 29 people in the federal government's racehorse doping investigations, they pleaded not guilty this past Tuesday on arraignments in New York. And they include the veterinarian Lou Grasso, a veterinary supply distributor from Delaware, Donato, Tony Policino, and standardbred trainer Tom Guido. The third and his assistant trainer, Connor Flynn, they all entered pleas of not guilty on the charges of drug alterations and misbranding conspiracy. And their next appearances for court are scheduled for not until October 2nd, and that it's taking upwards of 6 months, you know, for all this stuff to get taken care of. But apparently they have, the U.S. Attorney's Office has subpoenaed and has various different pharmacies, countless computers, cell phone, wiretapping, hard drives have been confiscated. I mean, sadly, this is going to be a major, these are going to be some major people in our industry are going to get prosecuted big time.
Yeah, I can't wait for the movie to come out.
The movie. Well, what gets me is that if they, of course, are found guilty, then some of these people are our own horses, as we well know, with service in Navarro, maximum security, and some of these people that are indicted, the Nick Surix, the Chris Oaks, and people like that. All these horses that they have racing, if they can find out that they were racing on these performance enhancing drugs, then there's a possibility that all the money could be refunded or to be refunded.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing there. But, you know, Steve, I think this investigation is like this virus. You don't know where it's going. You know, you're starting to find out where it came from and how it got to the people that it got to. And it's amazing. I just
I've
29 people. You know, it's going to get bigger.
It will be. And my sources have said, you know, this is a spider web and it's going to keep spreading out and reaching more people because people bought these supplies. And, you know, if they have conversations, you know, depending on what is said, you're 100% right. There's going to be, I think, a lot more people are going to be indicted. It may not be as major as the ones they've announced, but they're going to end up being indicted for purchasing and using these drugs on these horses. And it'll be super to clean up the sport and stop anyone from ever considering doing something again the way it should be. But it's going to take some time before this all happens. But lot of these trainers and veterinarians and people involved are, each of the states are suspending them. You know, they're not going to be able to race until their time in court is heard. And that could take, like we said, 6 months to a year before that happens.
Well, you know, to go to show you about life itself, you know, and you see it happen all the time, and no matter what you're doing or where you're at, it's a bad thing that happened, you know, with this. But now that it's come out, it's going to give the industry an opportunity to correct itself, to bring itself along, and let the public know that the horse industry has credibility, that we're, you know, policing ourselves, we're going to take care of things, you know, and do things that will ensure that this won't happen again.
You can say that twice.
That make us stronger. So, you know, we're getting close. You know, with the thoroughbreds and show horses and everybody. You know, so I'm excited about that and everything. So, you know, we'll just have to keep our eyes out and our ears open. You know, have you heard anything about any of the sales coming, Steve, going to reschedule?
No. I mean, the last sale was in the Midwest. Blooded sale was supposed to go in April. It's been moved until May. They may try and do it without anyone in the audience, trying to do it online with live bidding, you know, I guess showing the horses to some extent. But nothing's been confirmed yet. I mean, this is, again, another difficult task that if you have to keep social distancing and everything else going on there, I mean, other than Eric Cherry's OnGate.com and what they do there, where, you know, there's no real people involved until the transaction is made. I don't know how they're going to be able to even show horses in a ring for video, you know, that's not going to be undermined by the virus. I mean, it's just people shouldn't be together. That's all there is, plain and simple. And when you look at these other countries that have locked down completely, you see their numbers getting less and less of people getting infected and people dying. So obviously that's the way to go. But I don't think ever before has this world worked harder at trying to find a cure or even just a vaccine for this virus. And I think it's going to be difficult to find because it's going to manufacture itself into something else that we're not testing for, or the vaccine's not going to cover this. And, you know, there's also the talk about what's going to happen in the fall if this coronavirus isn't, if there's no vaccine for it, and then we get into the flu season, you're commingling the flu with coronavirus, and you could end up having some other virus that comes out of it that's even worse. It's not good.
Well, see, you know, that goes again back to traveling with the horses and, you know, everywhere you go. You know, it's going to be tough and everything. So, you know, what I'd like for our listeners to do, and all six of them, I hope, I think that if they keep on our website, you can see all the live updates, you know, via Harness Link, TDN, Tampa Bay Downs, all the links that we have here, you know, on the site. And it's straight up. It's that day that happened, and right then and there, like just like you found out on Harness Link.
Exactly.
You know, that's what we want them to do, to come to the website. We want them somebody to call in and or email us, and we'll give away that ship membership for a year. You know, it's the greatest thing in the world. I get my groceries every week, and I haven't gone without. I've always got water, toilet paper, everything that I needed from them. So, you know, that's good. You know, but we're just trying to keep people informed on an international basis in the equine industry. Of course, you know, you're international yourself. You travel all over Ireland, France, Canada. You know, so that's firsthand, you know, experience right there. And that's what we're about here. You know, we're trying to do that. We're glad to have you here with us. We're glad to have BBS because they're certainly international.
That's right.
You know, so that's 216
Don better
countries.
Not get sick. If Don gets sick, then we're in big trouble.
Yeah, we would be in trouble. But we want to make sure now that we're getting ready to end our show today that everybody tunes in next week because we're going to have Ben Waldman, Jr. He is the architect of past, present, and future champions. He's now COO of the St. Lucia Turf Club. And we'll have him on, and he's going to tell us all about St. Lucia. He's going to tell us about the racing, the country, and he's going to give it to us straight up front. So,
is just go to the website, ientv.org, and we have the links that'll get you everywhere. We'll get you the latest information on everything out there. And if you have any questions, if you want to hear about anything special on our show, go to ientv.org, go to our contact, send us a note, We'll love to hear from you, and we'll do our best to answer your questions.
You got it, Steve. Thanks a lot. Thanks to Don and BBS. And, hopefully next Thursday we can, we'll be able to get our people from over at Sarasota on the line and go from there.
So all right.
Join
Good
us
show,
next week
Scott.
At 1 p.m.